James chapter 1. As we continue to think about the importance of reading God's Word. So we're talking these days about let's read God's Word. Tonight I want to talk to you about reading God's Word to save your soul. Reading God's Word to save your soul. If you're like me, some of you who have medical issues, many years ago, I went to my doctor and he said, well, you know, in your family, you have a history of high blood pressure. And he said, you need to take medication. This is many years ago. And I was young and I complained about it and didn't want to do it. And he said, look, it's up to you. He said, you can take the medicine and have a good life until the Lord takes you home, or you can die of a stroke right now. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, that's the way doctors talk. My point in saying that is that I had to make a decision that I've had to keep twice a day for all of those years since to keep me alive, as far as at least medical purposes. I am so burdened about this matter of reading the Bible. It's like one hammer and one nail. And I know some of you roll your eyes and say, oh, my soul, I'm back at church, and all Pastor Mike can talk about is reading the Bible. But I'm doing it because it's so important for all of you.
Yes.
I can't just say to you, read your Bible. I wish I could come help you read your Bible, but I can't. But the reason why some of you are weary and the reason why some of you are discouraged tonight, see, we're talking about our soul now. Obviously, yes. The Bible teaches us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's right. You came to know Jesus when you heard preaching, you read the Bible, you read a tract that had the Bible. However you came to know Jesus, you experienced it, you encountered and heard the Word of God, and by that, you trusted Jesus by faith. You called on Him and you were saved. Tonight, I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about the soul condition you're in. Someone recently, I go through this every time we have one of our dear people who goes to be with the Lord, or we have someone in our church family who dies. And I often ask myself, did we as a church help that person be ready to die? That is our ministry here. Paul said that he did his ministry, Colossians 1, to present every man complete in Christ. I myself, the others who lead here in our spiritual responsibilities, have an accountability. We stand before the Lord, and one day in eternity I will answer for what I did or did not do to prepare you for death. That's not a melancholy purpose. You see, preparing you for death means you're ready to meet Jesus. So reading God's Word will save your soul. What do we mean by soul? Well, we know that in the New Testament, Paul teaches us that the soul has to do with our mind, our will, and our emotions. So tonight I wonder, how are you, do you see? It's just like me taking my medicine. This is so urgent for you. This is so essential and critical for you. And it doesn't matter how many years you've read your Bible. You're not reading it like you're going to school. You're reading it to stay alive spiritually. So when I'm discouraged, when I am depressed and discouraged, can Christians be discouraged? Oh, yes. When I don't have strength to stand up against temptation in my life, when I find myself going back to the way I used to live, to the old person I was before Jesus saved me, I discover I haven't been in God's Word enough. Now, I don't know how you have to do it in your schedule, but you have to read God's Word to save your soul, to help you with your will, to help you with your emotions, to help you with your heart. So tonight we're looking at a very famous section in James. James is so wonderful a book. I believe in some of you are studying James in your Sunday school class. Is that right, Roy? Some of you are in the material on James. Well, if you've already heard this, too bad. You get to hear my version of it. But in James, beginning in verse number 19, is a new paragraph in chapter 1. But we're actually going to pick up and spend our time on just verse 21 tonight. We will come back and talk about some of the additional material James says here following. Let me read. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Heavenly Father, give us now understanding by the help of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the sweet fellowship of our church and all these dear friends who are here tonight. Bless them all, young and old alike. Be our teacher now, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to make four observations from verse 21 as to the importance of reading God's Word to save your soul. Last week we talked about the importance of reading God's Word to understand, to have an understanding about what's going on in our lives, to understand the will of God and to understand the purposes of God in your life. You say, why is God letting this happen to me? Because He has His purposes. And so how do we find those purposes? We go to the Word of God. We look at the examples in God's Word. We hear them. We pray about it. We take these words and allow them to get on the inside of us. And this is important for all of you, young and old alike. Well, I don't read well. If you read, here's a little lesson. My grammar teacher taught me. The more you read, the better you read. The more you read, the better you read. Don't make an excuse that you can't read. You can read. So reading God's Word is something that is not only what we do together here, but you must do it individually. I want you to be ready when Jesus calls you. I want you to be, as your pastor, living and walking in joy and victory in Jesus. And the Word of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We hide it in our hearts so that we don't sin against God. First observation from verse 21. Let's read the verse again. Therefore, it's interesting that just before this, James talks about how you hear, how you talk, and about your emotions. He says, be quick to hear. Be slow to speak and slow to anger. And then he says those famous words, oh, the next time you start to get angry, remember this, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And then he says, therefore, you see, anger is one of those filthy things we have to put away. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains in wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. First, we see tonight, as we come to read God's word, that we must prepare to read God's word by laying aside two things. Notice in verse 21. Now, by the way, let me just give you some, Sunday night I'm going to be a little bit more technical. I wouldn't always do this. So if we read this in the original language, in the Greek language, this idea of putting aside is one word. It was a word used to throw clothes to the side, old clothes to the side, used in all kinds of Greek literature. Throw it aside. Throw it aside as worn out. Throw it aside. Therefore, putting aside, throw it aside. What do I throw aside? Filthiness. The importance of the priests before they went in to do their service with God, they were to be clean, washed. So you cannot come to God's word in your filthiness. Whether it's anger, whether it's harboring and holding things against others. Well, I'm going to read God's word, but I'm living with unforgiveness toward someone. Oh, my friend. Lay aside all filthiness. And notice what else he says. And all that remains of wickedness. When Moses was about to share the Ten Commandments with God's people in the book of Exodus, and I'll just turn there for a moment and just read it to you. Exodus 19, Moses brings the nation of Israel to Sinai, and the Lord says to Moses in verse 10, Exodus 19:10, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments. And let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of the people. Well, he came down. And the power and awesomeness of God was so great that the people said, we can't hear the words of God. He spoke in thunder and power. It scared them. They were all fearful, as the book of Hebrews teaches us. Even Moses was afraid with this awesome spectacle and presence of God speaking. And finally, the people said, Moses, you go on our behalf. He went to the mountain. And what did he receive? The Ten Commandments, the Word of God. Or as the Jewish people would call them, the Ten Words. The Ten Words. Ten words from God. And what was it that God told them to do before they heard the 10 words for the first time? Be clean. Be clean. So there is this preparation that we must make. While you have your Bibles open, you're right there. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, I'd like for you to look. In James, now you go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. We read what Peter says about this same matter of preparing ourselves to receive the word of God. Therefore, putting aside, he uses the same word. Therefore, putting aside what? All malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander. You see, he's much more specific about wickedness, all kinds of wickedness and filthiness. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, like newborn babes long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. You need more time in God's word and less time on some other things in your life. So we must come to the word of God carefully. We must come to the word of God respectfully. We must come to these words as the very words of God, and we must come confessing our sin before we're ready to read and hear God's word. By the way, that should be what happens to us before we go to our Sunday school classes to hear the word taught or come to preaching. I'm not here to entertain you. That isn't going to happen. I'm going to exhort you. I'm going to challenge you, as I seek to do in my own life. But you must come ready to hear. You come ready to hear, eager to hear what the Bible says. We also ask God to reveal to us any filthiness or wickedness of thought or action. You see, this is a spiritual exercise you're involved in. This is about your soul. So tonight I ask you, this is the famous quote of John Wesley. John Wesley and the Methodists in their early days, they collected themselves into what they called holy clubs. And these men would gather, and they gathered for the purpose of reading God's word and praying. And each time they gathered, here was the first question to one another: how is your soul? It's a good question for you and for me. I ask you, my dear friend, tonight, young and old alike, how's your soul? Pastor Mike, I'm discouraged. That's okay. You've said it. Pastor Mike, I'm far away from God. I'm angry with God. I'm bitter about things that have happened in my life. Whatever it may be, wherever you find yourself, how is your soul? I'd like for you to also look in your Bible at Psalm 139 for just a moment. These are familiar words, but they're words that I'm doing this because for some of you, you may have never marked these words in your Bible. But oh, these are wonderful words for us. Psalm 139. It begins the way it ends. In verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You see, as we approach the Word of God and as we come before the Lord in prayer and as we prepare ourselves to read the Word of God, this isn't like reading your emails. This isn't like reading some book or some article. No, this is the very Word of God. You have searched me and known me, and you know when I sit down, when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar off. You scrutinize my path, my lying down, and you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. And then he ends the way we must begin when we read our Bibles. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Lord, am I coming in sincerity? Or am I just coming to find some quick remedy? You know, for some of us, we open our Bible. You know, what is that old thing? Sometimes, well, you know, and I just opened my Bible and it fell open and there was the verse and I read it and that was for me. Hopefully you didn't read, Judas hanged himself, go and do likewise. There's a danger in doing that. No, we come to it with a much more methodical way of reading the Word of God. Just like we've asked you to read with us each week, each day, our chapter for the day. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Anybody here anxious? Of course, you're in church, but don't lie. Oh, we get anxious. And see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Did you notice that all of these things are internal? They're about your soul. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there are hurtful ways in me. Hurtful ways start on the inside and work their way out. And lead me in the everlasting way. So first we see tonight this call to put aside, just like old clothes, put aside like old worn out clothes, all filthiness. Notice the word is all. All filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. Just like this baby needs some milk. and it's not bothering anybody but the parents. Is anybody bothered by this? I could care less. I've listened to this my whole life. It don't bother me, Adam. I grew up with four sisters. They all sounded like that all the way along their life, clear to teenage years. They're still crying and wailing and belly aching every time I talk to them. Oh, woe is me. They just got it terrible. So don't worry about it. Adam was so worried. Last time he came to church, he's going to sit on the back row. No, you bring that baby right up here and sit up here. So first, we prepare to read God's word by laying aside some of these things that are very, very dangerous. Secondly, oh, this is important. Look at this. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word. The second principle is that we learn how to accept with a humble, patient, I'm going to use multiple words here. What does it mean to accept the word? It means to accept it with humility, with patience, with teachability, and submission. Those four words all help us to understand what it means to receive God's word. Oh, when we hear it preached, sometimes we don't like it. When we hear it taught, sometimes we're reading something and we're shocked by what the Bible is calling us to do, what God's word is saying for us to do. But that's when we learn, like newborn babes long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow. Oh, it is that humble, patient, teachable, submissive spirit that opens the Word of God. This is not a statement of judgment, it's an observation. But in all of my ministry, for all these many years in many places, the saddest thing is to see, it's not only been true in my own life, but I've seen it in many countless people. An unteachable spirit. I've touched on this before because it is such a burden of mine, especially in the church. Words become familiar to us, and therefore we hear the words and we think we already know what it means. No, friend. You see, those who put Jesus on the cross were the most unteachable. And the very words of Jesus, the glorious Son of God, God in flesh, standing before them, declaring the purest words of all. We call them red letter words. They rejected them all because they knew more and they were unteachable. This accepting of the word, this receiving of the word, is an act that you must make in your own will. You must come to these words and say, these are for me the very words of God today. It is no accident that I'm reading where I'm reading. I have a pattern I'm reading today. God, what do you have for me today? This is the attitude of receiving the word of God. And it's for the young and the old. We must teach our students to do this. We must teach our children to do this. And we must never forget it as old people and adults here tonight. Your soul's health spiritually is based on how you receive the words of God in this book. Humble, patient, teachable, submissive minds coming to God's word. So I carefully read the words for today. And I want to say this to you. I neglected to say this last week. I encourage you to slow down when you read your Bible. Slow down. And carefully pay attention to what your grammar teacher taught you. Verbs. Adjectives, pronouns, figures of speech. Pay attention to the words, the phrases, and the tone. God's word has its own tone. The word of God has a tone. Sometimes to encourage, sometimes to rebuke, sometimes to show you the way. In Acts 17, we read the example of those who read the word to receive it. Acts 17, 11, now these were more noble-minded, the Bereans. The Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians. Not that the Thessalonian Christians didn't love the Lord and didn't care, but you want to know what noble-mindedness is? Here it is. Noble-mindedness is receiving the word with great, look at this, eagerness. I can't wait to read my Bible. Not, oh, do I have to go do that again? If you know something gives you life, why would you not look forward to it more and more? The more you take it in, the more you take of God's word, the more it does to you. They were more noble-minded. They received the word with great eagerness. Notice this, examining the scriptures monthly or periodically when they had time. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? How often? Well, they didn't have busy jobs like we have in America, Pastor Mike. Make excuses. It doesn't change the noble-mindedness of the Bereans who received the word. See, this is it. The phrase that shows what eagerness is, it's eagerness is receiving the word. That's the way we do it. We do it eagerly. Whenever we find our time of reading, whenever we find our time in the Word of God, it is with eagerness we come to God's Word. This will help your soul. Number three, first is prepare to read God's Word by laying aside all filthiness and excessive wickedness. Secondly, accept with humble, patient, teachable submission God's mind from His Word. In your mind, God's Word. Third, recognize God implants the truth of God's Word in your mind. So I was in Portland, Tennessee with my son the other day, and my grandson, who has to go to every Tractor Supply in Tennessee. That's just who I is. And I grew up coming to this church. He's 19 years old. Does that tell you how old you are? Some of you remember when that boy came here when he was just a young lad. Well, we go to Tractor Supply. I have no idea about what you do out in the country. I have no idea. There are all these bags of seed already in there. Fescue seed, all piles of the giant bags. I'm freezing to death. Who in the world wants to put seed out? So there's a time, so the man came and he was trying to tell me all the story about how you put your fescue out, when you do this, and how you put it. And he was saying, you know, he was so excited to tell me this. It's going to come a really, here in a couple of months, it's going to be very important, or a month or so. And when the snow comes, right after the snow, put your seed in the ground and it'll just be all ready. He knew all about it. And I thought to myself, this goes right along with what we read here. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all wickedness, all that remains of wickedness in humility, receive the word implanted. Implanted. So guess what you're doing? I'm doing it tonight, because you've gathered with me to do it along with me, but this is what you do when you read God's word by yourself. You're planting seeds, and in your heart, now this is important, listen to me. In your heart, the season for planting seeds is all the time. All the time, every day, until you're dead and God calls you home. Planting the seed. Well, I'm a senior adult. I don't need to know as much about the... Really? Seriously? You're going to say that? You're old. You should know better. Solomon, the wisest man in all the world, did not listen to God at the end of his life and died without obeying God. I'm talking about King Solomon. You see, you must sow truth seeds into your mind and into your soul. You throw them in. May I read it to you? Mark 4:14. The Lord Jesus said, "The sower sows the word." And when you read God's word, you're sowing the truth seeds of God into your mind and into your heart and into your soul. You see, God's word is the seed. Reading is a form of sowing the seed. That's why I'm so urgent about this. I just labor about this. You must read it in order for the spiritual seed, the truth seeds of God's word to get in you. You must read them. You must read it. You must take it in. God's truth is the seed implanted to grow, and the Lord Jesus taught us there's only one kind of soil it grows in. James is telling us here. The good soil is the soil that's been prepared. All the filthiness, all the wickedness, as best we can in humility, not in pride, in humility. I've prepared as best I can. And oh, by the way, God's using the troubles of my life to plow up the ground so that I have good soil to plant the truth seeds in. These are all the things God is doing in your life. And God's truth grows in your mind and memory. You know, what is it that fills your mind? I've discovered in my own life, as I fill my mind with the truth of God's word, as I linger on those truths that I have memorized and meditated, as I journal and keep them, this may be the point to say this to you. So when you implant the seeds, you know, as I'm reading my Bible, I have a simple way of doing it, and I do it because it helps me with my journey. I don't journal long. You do whatever you want. I'm just testifying. My method is I take a book, a simple notebook, I date it for the year, I date it for the day, and as I read, I find whatever that word is God has for me, and I write down that verse, I note it, and at the end of the day, I draw a line, and then I date the next day. That's it. Some of us do it in our Bibles. We find ways to do it. The reason is you have a record of what God is saying to you. Some of you who have as many Bibles as I have or more, go back to your old Bible sometime and open it up if you're a marker. You know, somebody says, "I don't want to mark in any of the pages." Okay, if you don't mark in your Bible, then mark on another piece of paper. But some of you mark in your Bible. Go pick up one of your old Bibles and just thumb through and see what you, are you listening? We're receiving from God's word in that season of your, just go back and do it. Just go back, look. They're all stacked up at your house, you know that. Just go back and look. I was looking at that one when I was a young boy when the church gave me my Bible as a 10-year-old boy, and I had specific marks because my teacher taught me how to mark my Bible. I'm so glad that I had a teacher who cared enough to teach me as a 10-year-old how to mark my Bible. Covers off the back of that old Bible, but the pages are still in it. It's an old Bible. That's a 50-year-old Bible. Goodness sakes, 50 years old. Lance, I'm older than dirt. That just hit me. Psalm 119:11, "Your word I have hid in my heart." How do you do it? You read it. "Your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You are seeding your heart. You are seeding it. You overseed it. Brother Stewart, is he here? He's not here tonight. Brother Stewart helps me with the little bit of yard I have over my house. And I have ryegrass in there today. I have green grass at my house. I go outside and I've got green grass. It's beautiful. All of that yellow, nasty stuff all over the neighborhood, but I got green grass. It isn't much. It's just a little. I've got green grass. And when Stuart came to put that ryegrass in, man, I was out there. Of course, you know, he didn't need me out there. If you notice, people don't need you. He was trying to do it because he knows what to do, and I'm out there trying to. Now, Stuart, why are we? He said, do you have anything else to do? I knew what that meant. He overseeded it. He overseeded it. It's beautiful. Drive by my house. You'll take a picture of it. You'll want ryegrass at your house. I'm the only man in my neighborhood who has somebody mowing their grass in January. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I say all that to say, when you read the Word of God, you're overseeding your mind. You're putting it in there. Finally, God's implanted truth in your mind saves your soul. Psalm 119:1, how blessed are those. I'm looking at you, you're looking at me. I want you to be a blessed one. One of the ways you're a blessed one is not only knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, listen, who walk in the law of the Lord. That's how you're blessed. You're blessed when you do what God leads you to do and you heard it from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit was your teacher and this miraculous thing happens that we cannot understand nor can any preacher or teacher describe. It is this spiritual action that takes place in the heart of a believer who is in humility coming to eagerly receive God's truth from the Bible, and the Holy Spirit supernaturally puts it in your mind and helps you remember it. Psalm 119:9, how can a young man or woman keep his way or her way pure? By keeping it according to your word. And that's where we know that next verse. We all learn, many of us, your word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Listen, the word of God saves your mind from thinking ungodly thoughts. The word of God received protects your mind from worries. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just a worrier. What does that mean? Why are you saying that? The Lord said not to worry. Why are you worrying? It's sin to worry. That means you don't have any faith. That means you have no faith. That means you're living in unbelief. The Word of God strengthens us and encourages us. It puts in our minds, it's overseeding. Overseed your mind. Friend, what do you fill your mind with? What do you watch? What do you listen to? What you watch and what you listen to fills your mind and affects your soul. That's why you have to finally say, I am separating from certain things because they do not help me spiritually. The implanted Word of God saves our minds from ungodly thoughts, worries, fears, and despair. The Word of God implanted and overseeded in our hearts saves your will from doing things that are displeasing to God, yielding to temptation. You see, this is the activity of the law of God. Down the line, not too far from now, I'm going to be preaching on the law of God. I'm convinced of it, of its importance in the modern church. Because this is the way God has made it. The law says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That is the law of God. And my conscience then says, have I bore false witness against my neighbor? I have bore false witness against my neighbor, therefore I am guilty of slander. And I have sinned. So when we read the Word of God and we see the law of God and the Holy Spirit takes those spiritual words, it leads us to change our will. I will no longer slander my neighbor. I will follow Jesus. I will obey His Word. I will not speak to people like that. I will not treat people that way. I will forgive people. I will pray for my enemies. You see, this is it. It changes the will. The Word of God ignites in us a desire to follow God and do what He wants us to do. You're not going to do that on your own. You just woke up one day and decided to do it. No, I said it in the 10:30 service. I forgot to say it in the other services. The hardest man to kill is the old self. He keeps coming back to life. God's implanted truth in our minds saves our minds, saves our will, and saves your emotions. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, tenderheartedness. Against such things, there is no law. It's taking the most angry person and turning them into the most gentle. It happens by salvation in Jesus, and it continues in your sanctification and your growth in holiness as you read the Word of God. This is how God makes us holy. He takes and shapes us from the troubles of life, and He brings to us the Word of God. That is why, dear friends, my dear loved friends, I love you in Jesus. That's why we labored this morning to show you, I showed you this morning, if you were here, what did the Lord say? He said, there in Deuteronomy, He said, I have humbled you, not only to show you what's in your heart, but also I've given you manna so that you might learn man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I end tonight with this one statement. Someone hard of hearing in soul will never hear God's word. Some of you didn't hear it tonight. You need to get home. You have a very busy week. Or you're very tired. I told Tom down here, he said he was going to go to sleep. I said, well, Tom, there's an old saying, better to be fully asleep than half awake. Get some rest and read God's Word. How I pray that the Lord will not allow you to be hard of hearing. You know, Israel was hard of hearing. They never would hear. They never would listen. That's why the book of Hebrews spends so much time. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart, as in the day of provocation. May God give us wisdom in the reading of His word. So tonight, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. It's been good for us to be together today. We know many of our people could not come because of the weather, but when we pray for them and we pray You'd encourage them tonight. We pray for some who have faced some very hard news in the last days of loss, and others who are sick, others who are deeply discouraged and in despair, about to give up. Others who are living in the flesh, angry and mad at everybody else, blaming God and others for their condition. Oh, the troubles. Oh, the troubles. We've just spent another day of our life. We'll never get it back. It's over. So forgive us if we have not lived today to honor Jesus and to glorify God in all that we do. Forgive us. May you fill us with your Holy Spirit. May you unclog our ears to hear. Every time we sit with your word in eagerness, oh, may the people of this church become eager to take up their Bible and read. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we call upon you and ask you if you need to make a public decision. I'm standing here, and others of our men are here, our pastors are here, and our deacons.